Blog Talk Radio.
Good morrow, and welcome back to The Realm. I'm epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is a vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creators on a weekly basis that specialize in a plethora of art forms. And as always, if you'd like what you hear, you could find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or you could follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me as just old J.V. Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. And if you haven't visited alteredrealitymag.com, check it out, especially if you're a fan of speculative fiction or speculative poetry. And that means things like sci-fi and fantasy and dystopian and horror and gothic and cryptids and lots of all the fun stuff that you find in fiction. You'll find it there. We even had a horror poet named Whisperia Wailing on not too long ago, and I didn't even know horror poetry was a thing, and it's a thing. So check out alteredrealitymag.com when you have a chance. And as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my magic spell and take control of the magical airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. And for you Dungeons and Dragons nerds out there like me, the duration of our transmutation magic lasts about 30 minutes. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today we're chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative fiction scribe, Melanie Banks. Melanie, welcome to the realm.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about you as an author, and then tell us a little bit about your work.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty new to the fantasy fiction author front, although in a way I think I've sort of been doing it in the background for quite a few years. But my writing, it's all kind of that place that exists between fantasy and science fiction, I think. And I'm happy to talk about that more. But that idea of these worlds that allow us to explore different sort of philosophical and interesting ideas and what-if scenarios, and sort of through that lens. So this is something, this sort of, I don't know, epic stories that I've gone into has been, again, sort of this recent departure. So I'm a philosopher by training. I'm an academic. And, yeah, I'm trying out this new world, and it's quite exciting.
Well, how has your academic training and background affected your writing? You kind of hinted at that a few minutes ago. Let's talk about that, if you don't mind. How does that inform what you write? And I'm dying for you to define what you just said, which is the world between fiction and reality. So let's talk about those two things.
Great. So I have a PhD in philosophy, so I have spent a lot of time thinking about really weird and strange things. And I think all of that is just background for great writing. A lot of philosophy is about creating what we call them thought experiments, where you just try to, it's like a, just these what if, it's sort of the typical, you know, what if we're brains in a vat somewhere, which is kind of the typical Matrix scenario. And that's the very philosophy type question. And so I've been asking these questions for years and years and years, and now through writing, I get to explore these in a different way. But kind of a more fun way, and I don't know, it's all fun in different ways, but the tradition of philosophy works so well with the tradition of writing, I think, and of fantasy and sci-fi, because they're all asking these fantastic questions. With the other one, with this idea, is it science fiction or fantasy, it's in part because I don't know, they must be on a continuum, and you'll have to let me know what you think about this, but it
okay.
just feels like, right, because it's like, you know, if something has like a unicorn, you're like, okay, that's fantasy, we know what this is, and if it has a spaceship, we're pretty sure it's science fiction, but there's a lot of stuff that's sort of in the middle, and it depends on what you think the underlying reality of the story is, which way you would talk about it, because magic that's understood starts to look a lot like science, and like, how do we actually distinguish these two things?
You know, it's funny because I used a quote that found inspiration in a different quote in for one of the titles of my chapters in one of my books that says that, you know, magic is just undiscovered science, right?
Yeah.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head. And we've seen a lot of science fantasy. That it's not a new category, but we see a lot of that. And, you know, whether it's something with Q from Star Trek, Next Generation, and that character, or you see vampires in space, or you see all these, you know, it's becoming, I'm not saying it's becoming more popular, but I think it's recognized as its own subgenre. In the past, it was like, well, how do we categorize this stuff? And it's interesting that you brought that up because, you know, I think that a lot of the our listeners, the readers, and in some cases authors, sometimes are afraid to bleed those things together. I get that a lot when people ask the question of, you know, are you ever going to write in a different genre? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of, you know, like I have a little sci-fi in my fantasy already, not a lot, but you know, when you read steampunk or anything like that, there's always that line, and there's that blurry line of those concentric circles sometimes. And I think that's really cool, something you're touching on. But you mentioned something before that I also want you to touch on. And you said that there are these deep think kind of philosophical questions you ask yourself, and you've already brought up the Matrix. But is there one in particular that sticks out to you that you're either writing about or have written about that has driven you to put pen to paper and really, or, you know, figures to keyboard these days, you know, to pen something that's of interest to you and, you know, and that philosophy background that you have?
I mean, I'm very interested in the relationship between identity and memory and just like how to understand these two things. And this isn't in the current story, but another one I'm working on, that idea of like, you know, someone forgets who they are. What does that really mean to not know who you are? Because you probably have some memories or you have like technical skills in the world or like our memories, things that we are able to access by like sitting down and thinking about what I did yesterday, or is it more like the memory that your body holds because of a way that you've been living your life? And would that be erased if you had amnesia? And like, how does that work? So I feel like that's just really interesting. And then attached to that, which I explore a lot more in my current series, is almost it's similar, but instead of it being something like amnesia, it's a lot about the stories that we tell ourselves and the power that can have, but also the fact that they're never really true. Like, they're always like kind of true, like there's a little bit of truth in everything.
Right.
But like if you tell yourself like this is what my life was like and you say it over and over again and you believe it, it has a certain kind of reality, even if it doesn't track the truth at all. And that's kind of interesting in terms of your identity.
Well, do you have a favorite author or group of authors that you found inspiration in that helps you write your stuff? I mean, for example, it sounds to me like you're right on the cusp of a couple there. Like, you can find authors that kind of blend those two genres together. And also, I think, you know, high thinking, highbrow kind of stuff that you might read with an Isaac Asimov or Piers Anthony or Stephen Donaldson kind of stuff. I mean, do you have a few that you find, you know, that you're always sort of trying to pattern yourself off of? I know I do.
It's such an interesting question because I love the highbrow stuff, but because that just like gets your mind thinking and you're just like, what if this and what if that? It's so exciting. But if there isn't a really good emotional character arc, I'm probably going to get lost. Because that's what, I don't know, it's like when it reaches in and touches your heart, like that's when you keep going. That's when these characters become your friends and like you want to spend time with them. So from that perspective, one thing that kind of combines those that this year in January, I like rediscovered Murderbot by Martha Wells. And I just read like six of them, I think, in a row. And I feel like that's one of those really interesting stories that has all of these philosophical questions, but it's really this like you're following almost a coming-of-age story of a non-human going through, like, an emotional arc that I think is just kind of brilliant, because he has all of those, like, I care so much about this human construct and their journey, and I relate to it, but then also it has these larger questions about what is the nature of being human, and, like, what are the preconditions to that, and what does it mean, and it feels like you can mean anything, and, like, that's just so fascinating. So that's been one of my big ones this year. I think more in the area of fantasy, I mean, I'm a big Brandon Sanderson fan just for his world building. He's like top notch in terms of that. And just, again, what if, like, what if he'll do a what if about anything and create a world that you just never see coming. And that's fascinating and creative. And those worlds will stay with me for quite a while after I've put down the book, which is quite interesting. Lanny Taylor, actually, her Strange the Dreamer duology, also really fantastic use of, well, she has an ancient city, which was quite magical and mystical, which was a bit of the inspiration for my series as well, because I just think that idea is quite interesting.
So this might be the dumbest question I'm going to ask you this evening, and forgive me if I ask it, because I find when you told me you were a PhD in philosophy, this tracks. But from your perspective, did you ever imagine yourself, when you were going through all of that academic rigor, that you would use that to become a writer of fantasy stuff, or sci-fantasy, or whatever you want to call it, or this borderline genre that you've kind of created or are mastering? Or was that just something that just came about, that was, you know, serendipity finding its way to you? I mean, was that the plan, or was that just like blind luck?
I mean, it's our lives, right? Like, things are always weird how they work out. I had thought I was going to be a writer when I was a teenager. I had bizarre plans, and it didn't quite work out, which is fair because I was young. And then I followed the philosophy thing for a long time. But as I was doing the philosophy, I always sort of kept my finger, like, sort of in this world in a way. But I just felt like it's, like, not now, or you can't be, like, you're doing this other thing right now, and it's taking a lot of your time, your, like, creative energy. And, like, you can't also write. But one of the things I was thinking about the other day, and this is so nerdy, but when I was doing some of my academic work, I met a friend who also was obviously learning philosophy, but we were both really big fans of Stargate, which I don't know if you remember Stargate SG-1.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
Okay, because I could go on about how that's a really good show and everyone should watch it. But there used to be these books that were published that was like Philosophy of Seinfeld and Philosophy of Simpsons. And we had decided that we were going to write Philosophy of Stargate. And really, I mean, in some ways, this was a way, again, of trying to say, like, I got to bring my philosophy into this fantasy and this sci-fi place, because this is where we see all of these ideas. We can really see them and we can really explore them. And so I tried to do it sort of in a backdoor academic way at that time, but it didn't really work out. And then now, years later, I'm doing it this way, which makes a lot more sense. But it's almost like it just took me this long to figure out I could do this instead.
Well, you know, that's a great segue, because, you know, we've talked a little bit about you and your background and how you became an author, and now how you're using that academic portion of your life. Let's talk about your work in progress. I mean, you mentioned it just a few moments ago. You know, obviously this is now translated into a career and an authorship. Tell us about how that got started a little bit, and tell us how you're using that, you know, what you're doing now with your current work in progress.
I sort of had this idea a few years ago, and I was trying to get into it. It was interesting. I met someone who was a self-published author, and that just opened my eyes. I had really no idea that this world existed, and it changes everything. So that got me excited. And then in 2022, I did NaNoWriMo, as, you know, as people do when they're trying to write a novel for the first time. And that just changed everything for me. It turns out I really enjoyed writing, and it, you know, I could develop these habits and pull together the novel, and the writing comes easily to me. At least like that first draft is something that I don't struggle with, which is really, really nice and quite a relief when I was able to write that, and it came together quite quickly. Since then, it's been a little bit of, I mean, not that long ago, and now I'm writing book three right now, and everything's just sort of taking off. So it's been quite surprising how fast these things can move once you start putting time and effort towards it, which I think is one of the really big things. It's hard to do that at first because this is just like a hobby that you're doing on the side, or like, how can you, you know, you have your day job, how can you spend time doing this? But as soon as you start to put time and energy into it, again, it was very quick for me. And it's been quite interesting pulling together the pieces. I'm still learning. I'm so new at all of this. The first book came out in, I think, October, end of October last year. And I feel like I'm playing catch up all the time, but it's also exciting because I'm learning new things all the time. Like 2 days ago, I like put a Facebook ad up, and I was like, oh my God, I have no idea how to do this. And I like, how, you right? Like, what's going on? What are all these screens? What questions are they asking me? But it's, I don't know, it's fun too, right? Because this is a brand new challenge. And with each one, you can kind of, I mean, I'm sure I have not mastered it, but you know, I've taken a step, and that's really fun. So that's what's been going on. So my work in progress is this series called The Broken Wind series. And again, the first book, The Curse of Starfall, is already out. And the second one is coming out in May, end of May probably. And the third one later this year. So I'm just trying to manage all of the pieces. But it's been pretty great.
First of all, I have to say this, The Curse of Starfall, great title. Great.
Oh, thank
I would
you.
Pick that up off of a shelf the minute I saw it and probably buy it even if I didn't like the blurb. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a cool title to have on a shelf. But, you know, let's talk about that for a little bit. Tell everybody a little bit about A Curse of Starfall. You know, it sounds to me like you've, you know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like your favorite is maybe your firstborn, your baby here. If that's not true, I don't want to say that for you, but, you know, is it your favorite thus far? I know you're only on book three, so there's not a, you know, eclectic palette here to choose from, but was that your biggest accomplishment? And tell us a little bit about it.
It's such a good, it is my baby. It always will be, right? First completed book. Yeah. This is going to have a special place on the shelf forever. So this, The Curse of Starfall, it's a coming of age story in a lot of ways. It follows the protagonist, Nerina Shaal, who has this sort of mysterious condition that leaves her, you know, tired and kind of sickly, and she has to sleep and she passes out. And this has created a lot of limitations in her life, you know, as her, you know, friends pass her by and sort of go off and live their lives, and she can't really do any of that. And this is all the result of the fact that she was attacked as a small child by these mysterious monsters called the Shadowed Ones that live in the capital city. And this story is really, you know, sort of comes about because a scholar comes and finds her and thinks that she can help him solve the mystery and stop these Shadowed Ones. And he has this sort of it's like a treatment that he can give her that sort of allows her to live life the way everybody else lives life, which is quite enticing if she'll just, you know, come with him. And so the story does follow, you know, her journey to this main city. But in doing that, there's so many mysteries in this world, which is, I love mysteries, especially in fantasy. So there's a lot of that. There's, you know, what are the shadowed ones and what are they really doing? But we also learn that there's some questions about Nirin's past and like, what is her condition and what is actually going on there? And then it takes place in this city, the capital city called Starfall, which was built by gods that left. And the people live in this amazing place, but they don't have the capacity or the knowledge to really build anything like this place that they live in. So it's like amazing, but they don't know how it works or how to do it or how to replace things. So there's a lot of mysteries about the location as well. So all of those, and then as the series continues, there's more mysteries because this is kind of isolated and, you know, what's going on in the rest of the world as well. So, yeah, it's, again, coming of age for Nirin Ashal, but all of these different mysteries are really part of the story that she uncovers throughout the first book. Well, some of them. Some of them are still for later books.
Well, you know, I like the concept of sort of like the discovery of a godlike society and not being able to replace things because you don't know how they work and how they fix. I recall back in the 80s, there was an anime called Robotech, and that's exactly what happened. The humans got a hold of this advanced tech and they were able to use it to their advantage. And when the big bad aliens came, the big evil bosses called the Zentradi showed up, they were in these Robotech master shifts, but they didn't know how to fix them. So when they would ever break, they would, it was basically fighting an army that had clunkers as opposed, with the humans who figured out how to master it. And there's a lot to be said about that too, about the discipline of education and the discipline of mastery versus just having something you don't really know how it works and stuff. And so that, I think that's a real cool theme that you have there too. Would you suggest that your books, I mean, sounds to me like they're kind of like advanced young adult and beyond. I mean, are you just straight up in adult genre or new adult genre? Where would you place your books?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, they are young adults insofar as, the main protagonists are all sort of in their early 20s. So it definitely has that piece. And it doesn't have, because it's more based around uncovering mysteries, there's not going to be a lot of violence and things of that nature in the story. But I also feel like themes of like not quite understanding the world around you or like realizing something about yourself that you didn't know before are kind of adult themes. So I guess I just struggle with that a little bit, but in the typical way in which things are classed, usually based on violence and sex, like this is going to be young adult because just the age of the characters. But again, it's these larger questions that I relate to a lot. So I'm hoping that other people do as well, because coming of age, while it is, this typical, child to adult, we have so many coming of age moments in our lives, it never ends. And so some of these deeper identity questions are maybe a more adulty kind of questions at the end of the day, but either way, there's a story to enjoy at, I think, both levels, which doesn't really answer your question, probably YA.
Well, no, that's the same. I get the question a lot on mine too. It's like I tell people, it's PG-13, but an advanced young adult would be able to read it, but it's not written for them. But I wanted it to be available to those. Like if I were 12 or 13, I would read my books. And I think the same thing could be said for yours, even though there's a coming of age story, which immediately suggests that it might be something along the lines of YA. Let's face it, a lot of really popular stuff could be misconstrued as that too. Star Wars, Star Trek, Twilight, Hunger Games, all those, the super popular stuff that we've seen over the last 10 or even 50 years, again, all those stories are life lessons and things like that too. So I was just curious as if you had boxed yourself in, and it sounds to me like you're like, nope, I go everywhere, 13 to 80, we're good,
I know. Wait, I'm like, every question, I'm like, no, it's all of the things. I'm like, it's not helpful.
Well, look, we are coming to the end of our time. We only have about five more minutes left before I have to let you go. So we're going to play a little bit of thing. We do it with all of our guests, or at least most of our guests. We do a lightning round. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And you look, if it goes into something that's a little longer, that's fine, too. You could take as long as you want to answer it. But they're designed to be short answers just to kind of, you know, have some fun with you. So are you ready to do the lightning round?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'll start you out with a softball. I ask everybody this question. You know, as an author, you're talking to an audience filled with authors and readers. So talk to them for a second and give them your best piece of advice as an accomplished author. What would you tell them to do, not do, recommend, you know, spend money here, don't spend money there? What is that one piece of advice you would leave them with?
It's going to be something like just listen to yourself. It's sort of like take in all the advice and then just do what you're going to do. Like, tell your story. Because there's so much advice. And, you know, you're going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. That's how it should be.
Right. The best money you've ever spent as an author and the worst money you've ever spent as an author?
Ooh, that's hard. Best money is editing. Editing is so good. Editors are great. Worst money... I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning, and I messed around a lot with domains and websites and all kinds of things that I feel like it's not even like not like spending money badly, but it's like when you realize you should have just hired someone to do it for you, like, and that would have been faster and made more sense.
I tell people that all the time. I say, look, if you're going to court, you take a lawyer. If you're going in front of your revenue, you take, you know, your accountant. You know, when you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to, you know, especially if you're an indie author, find a Sherpa, find someone that can guide you. It's worth the money because they'll save you tons of it at times and effort, which also equates into money too. So that's a pretty good piece of advice there. How about this? Spin a little bit here. Your favorite philosopher, and are you ever going to use that favorite philosopher's themes or struggles or challenges in one of your novels, or have you done it already?
Oh, that's such a good question. This is a hard answer, but I'm going to say Aristotle. I have a relationship with Aristotle. It's not always positive, but I feel like he was on to something, and I just, you know, it's an ongoing thing. And it's his ethics, and I feel like I'm a philosopher, but I specialize in ethics, and everything I write is ethics at the end of the day. Maybe everything is ethics, but... So that definitely shows up. I don't know if Aristotle will show up in person, but in the second book, somebody does get the nickname the philosopher, which was just something I myself.
cheater. Last question before I let you go. There's a library and it's on fire and you rush in to help and you can only save one book and it can't be any of yours. Which book is it and why?
The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle. It's just... It's a masterpiece. It's so good. And I grew up watching the movie version of The Last Unicorn, which is probably not appropriate for children because it's quite deep. And then I got older and I read the book, and it's so brilliant. And so I would take that because I could read that for a long time if all the other books were gone.
Well, look, we have a minute left. Great answer, by the way, and one we haven't had yet. But with a minute left, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can buy your books.
Right. So, The Curse of Starfall is available on Amazon, ebook, Kindle Unlimited, paperback, all the different options. You can find me at my website, which is mlbanks.ca, not com, because that goes to an actual bank. CA is the one I have to use. And from there, you can find all my other socials, ML Banks on Facebook, really all the normal places, but the links are on the website.
Well, Melanie, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on The Realm. And when the next book comes out, let me know. We'll have you back on. I want to thank our sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine, alteredrealitymag.com. And for those of you who haven't checked it out, go there and check them out if you like speculative fiction. Melanie, again, thanks for coming on The Realm. We really appreciate it, and looking forward to connecting when the next book's ready to roll.
Great. Thank you so much.
Been a pleasure. Thanks again.